All right. Hello and welcome everybody to the Self-Empowerment Project. Today, we're going to be talking to some amazing folks, Suzanne Daniels and Donna Story. We're going to be talking about the topic of moving forward and when the going gets tough, how do you keep going? Let me introduce these wonderful folks today. Starting with Donna, she's an inspirational author, spiritual speaker, teacher, healer, and more. Donna is passionate about people, and she believes that you are innately good and wise, and that it is your birthright to be deserving of love, happiness, abundance, and good health. For over 25 years, she has been a guide and support to women wanting to create positive change. Throughout her career, Donna has worked in education as a teacher, owned and operated small businesses and retail stores, and practiced metaphysics as an intuitive reader, counselor, and energy healer. Her main focus now is working in the areas of personal growth, empowerment, and spiritual development. Her process allows individuals to connect and communicate with their own divine souls so they may trust themselves in following their intuition to create the life they desire. Donna's purpose is to be a guide through a gentle and heart-centered approach for those wanting to know the truth of who they are as a powerful, creative, spiritual being. Thank you so much for being here today, Donna.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. We've also got the wonderful Suzanne Daniels. She's a South African lawyer who now lives in Los Angeles, California. She's owned multiple businesses and currently runs a business consultancy where she has many international clients and applies her expert knowledge and industry experience to solve their company issues. A graduate of the University of Cape Town, Suzanne began her career as an attorney in South Africa. A career spanning over 15 years, she has served in various roles within the legal profession as a law partner, compliance officer, corporate secretary, board advisor, and general counsel. Suzanne is also a best-selling author on Amazon. Her latest multi-author biographical book is called Nomad CEOs, featuring stories of CEOs who run their businesses from all over the world. The book is available on Amazon from the 13th of August. Suzanne is a single mother of a special needs child, and despite her daughter Emma being born blind, she ensured that her disability would not get into the way of her daughter's dreams. And because of that, Emma graduated summa cum laude from the New York Film Academy with a degree in acting for film and is starting up her acting career. When she's not busy assisting her daughter with her acting career, Suzanne enjoys reading, cooking, and exploring her new home state. Thank you so much for being here today, Suzanne.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine, for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So today is going to be awesome. And it looks like we've just had Phoenix join in as part of our live audience. If you could have your audio and video turned off and later in the episode today, just let us know if you have any questions by raising your hand and you can type them into the chat box. All right. So let's get started. So the big question for today is, when the going gets tough, how do you keep going? So let's start by talking about a time where life was really tough. Suzanne, when?
I think that's spanning a life of 50 years. It's kind of weird to pick one time. I think I'll pick the most recent time. COVID made restrictions me spend about more than a year apart from my daughter. She was in Los Angeles and I was in South Africa, and that was pretty tough because, as you've read, she needs assistance, and the plan was always to, you know, not leave her alone for too long. So I think that caused me lots of stress. We got someone to stay with her here in the US, and I think I did remote parenting and assisting and caregiving, thanks to Zoom. And well, she reminds me, it wasn't Zoom, it was FaceTime. FaceTime, and, you know, lots of phone calls, teaching her things, getting used to the time difference. So I think for me, it was one step at a time. It's unknown territory. Usually tough times are not, something that we've gone through before. Sometimes it is just different. But I mean, this was something that we hadn't gone through before. We sort of sat down and worked out what was priority. And I think also emotionally, it was incredibly lonely for me because she's an only child. I had two little dogs with me that keep me going, having someone else to focus on. So I think that also helps. For me, what I did is I'm very practical. So I looked at the things that I could do, sort of cleaned out my space at home, because obviously, well, stay at home orders as well. So that made it even more depressing. So luckily I have a garden. So clearing my space, making it orderly, working in the garden, and just instead of trying to save the world, it's kind of, this is the big picture. This is what I'm going to have to do. And how do I do it in a day? And that's pretty much how I've dealt with tough situations. You know, it's kind of, okay, what's the problem? They might not know all the answers, but what's the step to get there? And to put in place practical steps. What kind of support do I need? Also, you know, and if it's not there, what's the substitute? So I think it's a very pragmatic approach to, well, my approach has been pragmatic to get through situations.
Thank you for sharing that. I really like how you talk about finding out what the real problem is at the base of the situation so you can move forward from that. How about you, Donna? When is a time that's been really tough and it's been hard to move forward?
Well, I think for me, some of the toughest times have been through relationships. And I know from all the women I talk to, it's one that a lot of women experience where they're in an unhappy relationship and they feel stuck. They don't feel like they can get out of it, or they want to, but they don't know how. And as women, we often tend to put everybody else first. And especially if there are children involved, we think we need to hold the family together or stay there for the benefit of the children, to our own detriment. So, you know, how do you move out of that situation when you feel so responsible for everyone else's feelings? And I think the first thing you've got to do is give yourself permission to do what's best for you. I always tell women the story, we're like jugs of water, we're always giving everyone else drinks, but if we don't stop and give ourselves a drink, we're going to run out. So if the first thing I had to realize was that it's okay for me to put myself first. My happiness is important. I had to find the self-worth and the self-love to instigate that change that I was wanting. And often, you know we should do things. I know I should get out of this. I know I should make changes. And we really beat ourselves up. But I think it's also important to be very gentle with ourselves and know that we'll just handle things when we're ready as we can, and don't sort of beat ourselves up and make ourselves feel worse about being stuck. And if we're stuck, it just means we haven't found that courage or the opportunity or the energy or the love to make a move. And we need to just understand that when we're ready, when we have what we need, we will. So I think that's the first thing in a situation like that, is just to look at what are my reasons for being here, and if I'm not happy here, and am I loving myself in the decisions I'm making, or am I putting other people or other things first? And that sort of helps get you on that path to make a change. And yeah, I've certainly been through that, so I can relate to what a lot of women go through and are going through.
Absolutely. So moving forward to something that we all have to do, no matter what the situation is, we always have to keep moving forward, sometimes trudging through it, sometimes we glide right along. Mm. How do y'all look for the next steps. Let's say you're in a difficult situation, you look around and you just don't know. What are some intuitive signs to looking for those next steps? Suzanne?
I think for me, what's always been useful in that situation is to journal it out, be quiet. I don't like too much noise when I'm in that state. So I would find a quiet spot, either in my bedroom or, you know, or take a walk, or even take a walk, just so that I could think through it. And also being accepting that I might not have all the answers. You know, I think I've learned to just come to accept I'm not going to have this solution all worked out, all packaged. Life's not like that. And I find that I've learned to write. I've had to learn it through one of the most difficult periods of my life. I've learned to journal it all out and not actually just make sense, but write whatever the feelings are. So once you've gotten all of that out, you know, try and pick up from there what the themes are. You'll pretty soon realize what's underlying all that emotion. And if it doesn't come that time, you know, I've also learned it's not a once-off occasion. It's a process. I tend to be impatient. It's something I'm struggling with.
I understand that.
But I do believe in the process, in terms of, you know, sticking through it. And I think when you talk about one step forward, it's actually sticking to that process. If you've committed to, I have a morning routine. I get up, read my Bible. Well, I get up, I say, thank you for being alive for the day. I read my Bible, say my prayers, read a chapter in a motivational book, and then I do some journaling, and then I reach for my phone. So I've had to school myself to do that. But I think, you know, learning the comfort in those kinds of processes, the structure that it gives to your thoughts. And I also have these conversations with God. I make myself a cup of coffee and I literally just talk to him. You know, it's coffee conversations with God. Sometimes I don't hear what he says, you know, I don't like what he says, but those are the ways that I ground myself. And then also accept that I might not have all the answers today, but they will come, you know. In my own life right now, I'm struggling with my, you know, where to fit myself in this new environment. And slowly but surely, the opportunities have come. I've just stuck to trying to build a routine, a structure into my life. And that has helped because now I'm grounded, and the opportunities can come in. And I realize looking back now, I would not have been able to do that had I not just had taken comfort in whether I'm in Los Angeles or in Johannesburg, there's a morning routine that I follow. And that helps.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to go quiet and relax because, you know, if we can just sit and take some deep breaths, those breaths relax your body. And when your body's relaxed, all the inner systems can function to their fullest. And when we've got to make decisions, it's really important to get out of our head because that's where we've got that other little voice that's always going, oh, you shouldn't do this or you can't do that. Or that's all our programming and conditioning that we've gone through in our life. And I myself always just make a point of putting my hand on my heart and taking my focus down to my breath, to my heart. And when I ask questions for myself, instead of thinking about what I need to do, I go into how do I feel? And I might imagine a scenario. If I do this, how will that make me feel? And then I tune in and I really listen to what my body does. My body might tense up, or I sort of feel a bit of dread. Or I might feel a sense of relief and relaxation and a little bit of joy come in. So that's how I tune into my intuition when I need to make decisions. I really just feel, and I really pay attention to what my body's doing when I'm imagining the different outcomes or potentials there are for my situation. And I think too, I always look at, well, what's the alternatives? If I don't do this, what are the alternatives? And sometimes that's what inspires me to, okay, I that's not going to be what I want. So I really have to make a change here. And another thing that's important too is just go one step at a time. Just today, what can I do today? Don't worry about tomorrow. It hasn't happened yet. The past is gone. Just in this moment, what can I do? So keep it simple, step by step, to just gently take yourself through that process of change.
Absolutely wonderful insight from both of you. Thank you. That's so fine. You both talk about taking next steps. So let's say we've already figured out, now we know this is the problem. Now we know we can move forward. We've been able to find that first step. How do you keep taking the next steps? How do you stick to the new routine? Let's start with you, Donna.
I think, you know, if you can each day look at your progress or look at those little steps you've taken and congratulate yourself or appreciate the benefit you got from doing it, or that you did it and feel proud of yourself, encourage yourself the way you would a small child. You know, if you wanted to see them get to a goal, you'd encourage them along the way and tell them how well they're doing. You've got to do it to yourself. And once again, just a step at a time. You're going good. You've done it today. Great. Get up tomorrow. Do it again. And just slowly build that momentum. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think that's really important. But that attitude of gratitude and appreciation is important.
Wonderful. How about you, Suzanne?
I agree with Donna about the attitude of gratitude. That's why I got into the habit through a friend of mine who said to me when I was in a really dark place, said to me, write down 10 things every day that you are grateful for. And you're not allowed to repeat what you've said. I sent it to her every day as a motivator. And I think that was the beginning of sort of realizing, celebrate the small victories. Don't just look for the big things. We are so conditioned to just looking for the big prize. You know, we forget the little things. I mean, at some stage, getting up in the morning was something I was grateful for. You know, having my health was something that I was grateful for. So breaking down those small things, being able to look after yourself, being able to travel, just being able to do things was a huge step. So I think that is a way to get through a day. You know, yesterday my celebration was actually finally unpacking my suitcases. We moved into a new apartment, and I have just been avoiding unpacking my suitcases. But I felt such a sense of accomplishment when I looked at my closet and everything was sort of packed away. I'm a little bit OCD, so you know, things have to be in order, but there it was. And you know, I felt so much lighter and just celebrated that this is what I did today, because yesterday was a bit stressful, and just getting that order. So you know, it it grounds you to celebrate the small things rather than just the big things.
That is wonderful. I absolutely agree. Being able to take time out to look at all the small things and how it all snowballs into such big things. It's something we all need to do, especially while we're moving forward.
For sure.
So, what are some other pieces of advice y'all might have?
Oh, I think it's good to have a mentor, even if it's whether it's someone you pay to mentor you or if it's a friend, but someone to talk to and communicate with on that regular basis, because often while we're expressing ourselves and talking and discussing, it helps clear our head and we get ideas and inspiration come to us in those moments. Also, a person on the outside of our situation are going to be more neutral with how they look at what we're doing and can give good advice. And I think it's nice just to have someone to share with. And that keeps, if you, for example, if I told my girlfriend, oh, I'm going to start this diet next week, well, I know next week when I talk to her, she's going to say, how's your diet going? So that motivates me to actually do it. So to be accountable, to keep that momentum going, I think is important. And just to know that there's someone that cares that you can share with along the way.
Beautiful advice. Suzanne?
I agree with Donna. I think community is quite important. Surround yourself with people who support you. But support does not mean that they will just tell you what you want to hear. Support is also telling you what you need to hear and so where you can bounce ideas off. I used to run a group coaching program, and I found it very interesting because not only did I learn from, the community of advice being given, but I was able to share some of my experiences. So I think that's also important, being open to other people's experiences and building that community around you.
Yeah, and I think too, when the good thing about is having a coach or a mentor is if you're paying them, you're really investing in yourself and you're sort of sacrificing something in return for their help. So you're sacrificing some money. And I find that through the work I do, when women make that commitment to me to step onto my mentoring program, they're really serious about what they want to do. And so they're going to listen, they're going to take advice, they're going to try things, they're going to push themselves. Whereas other women I might give advice to just in my readings or other sessions I do, they'll listen, but they might go away and think, no, I'll leave that till another time, or they let it go. So even if you're strapped for cash, I always encourage people to just really stretch yourself and try and pay to have that coaching or mentoring that you need because it's going to accelerate your growth and help you attain better progress. And because you've paid some money to have that, you're really going to commit and make sure you do what you need to. So I know it's helped me in the past in business when I felt a bit stuck, when I haven't known what to do next. I've tried everything I know, nothing's working, the business is stagnating. So I paid for a business coach, and that really helped me move and improve the business. And even in my personal life, I've had personal coaches to mentor me through situations. Because we only know what we know, and we do our best with that. And I think it's really great just to open up to other ideas when we need to.
I like that you talk about opening up ideas with other folks, whether it's someone you pay for or it's opening the questions up to your community. It's all about getting that feedback so you can find out how to move forward in some shape, way, or form. And with that, let's see if anyone in the audience has any questions. We'll give them a moment and we'll go ahead and ask another question. With moving forward, we all know that the first step is the hardest. You keep moving, you get on the routine. And let's say you accomplish your goal. What do you do from there? Do you set another goal? Do you celebrate? Do you just keep moving forward past it? What are your thoughts, Suzanne?
First, I would celebrate. There's power in celebrating achievements. And it doesn't have to be big or thing, you know, it just needs to be recognition to yourself that you've achieved something. And then move forward. Because now, if you can achieve that goal, certainly you can look and see what else you can achieve to keep you going. And that's a powerful motivator, you know, to keep going.
Absolutely. Donna?
Well, you know, in terms of being a human being, we're here to learn and experience and grow. And rather than keep moving forward, how I see it is that we keep expanding in our awareness, in our knowledge, in our wisdom, in our love and compassion. So I think it's a natural part of our journey that as we finish one little stage of our life or achieve something, then the next thing will open up. And it's a very normal and natural progression, I think. You know, they say change is the only constant thing in the universe. And I think it's all about how we flow with it and how we embrace it. And as we do mature, it's just something that's always going to be happening. So I think, you know, our attitudes and our beliefs and how we approach things is going to really guide which direction we go in and how we flow, whether it's an easy journey and exciting and enjoyable, or whether it's hard and tough and miserable. So, and I'm an Aries, so I love change. I'm always looking for a bright, new, shiny thing to focus on, which can be a curse sometimes. But yeah, I think we move forward and we'll just keep finding new and improve things to focus on and aim towards.
Wonderful. I love it, how it's always ever expanding. We're always looking forward to new things. We've got a question from the chat right now. Phoenix says, thank you all for the awesome advice. My question is, how do you empower yourself to change your goals as you achieve them? Like if I learn to paint, but I find I want to be an architect instead, how do you find the way to allow yourself to change those goals? That is a wonderful question. Thank you. Ladies?
I think you recognize what is required. I think in my lifetime, I've had a couple of iterations, Phoenix, and listeners. I am a lawyer by profession, so, you know, I can identify to those things. So trained in a particular way, and, you know, you're trained in sort of rigid thinking. And then to discover when I was in my 20s, I realized that I actually don't like the practice of law. I didn't like the life, you know, and I was devastated. So I was thinking, I've spent 6 years of my life studying this, and it's been a passion of mine since I was 4 years old. So now what? I went and spoke to a couple of business people and, you know, shared with them. And I think one of my mentors, we're still friends today. So to Donna's point of finding mentors. And he asked me, what about the Lord did you not like? What did you like? You know, can you use those skills in a different way? So then I started looking at that, and I actually ended up going to work for him as an operations manager, which opened up a project manager, which opened up new skills. So, and then also during my career, I've done lots of other stuff before I came back to the law. So what I've also realized is that every experience is not a wasted experience. So your artistry, architecture is a form of art. It's obviously a more rigid form of the art form, but it is a form of art. So surely the skills that you have gained as an artist are transferable into the world of architecture. So look at how can you use that? What is the next step in the qualification that you need to be an architect? You might not want to spend the 7 years being studying architecture, but you can certainly become a draftsperson or an architectural designer. There are lots of options open now. So look at those options. Speak to people who are working in the industry, you know, specifically. But that's how I would approach it. And that's how I have approached my changing career aspirations. It's actually not. And if I look back now, all of the things that I've done as a project manager, as a procurement person, you know, all of those things as a mom, they've added to the richness of the experience that I bring to the table right now and able to advise my clients. So it's not a wasted experience. It's just how you approach it. So look at the options. There must be lots of options available.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Susan, that you're fine-tuning what you want to do by having all these experiences. You're learning what you do like and you don't like along the way. And I think to move forward, how do you allow yourself? Well, you just do. You don't judge yourself. You just go, okay, I did this. I discovered I don't like it or it's not for me, and that's okay. Don't beat yourself up because, oh God, I paid all that money for that course and now I've wasted it because I'm not going to do it, or I've spent all that time and I don't like it. That's okay. We've just got to take that pressure off ourselves and just see it as a journey, see it as for how it is. Don't judge and just allow. And I think if you free yourself up in that way, things will just flow better. And you will make better decisions for yourself anyway, because you're in that state of allowance. You're just following your heart, and that just seems to clear the path. I mean, the sort of person I am, I've done lots of different things, and I could, you know, at the time I felt like I did waste my time way back when I was younger. But now looking back from the age of 59, I can see that path and how all those skills I was acquiring have all come together for me now in what I'm doing. So that time in retail taught me about business, and now I work for myself. That time as a teacher taught me how to teach and how to understand people and put things in a way that they can learn and understand themselves. Time I spent in catering taught me all about, I suppose, people generally and nutrition. I learned a lot about that. So you know, it's never a waste. It'll come together at some point if you keep following your heart.
Wonderful advice all around. It looks like they've given us a little heart.
Lovely.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for today. This has been a wonderful session of learning about moving forward. Do y'all have any other tidbits that y'all want to share?
I just think just love yourself. Just appreciate yourself. Honor yourself. And make sure that when you're making decisions, you're including yourself in them. You are ultimately doing what's best for you, and that's not being selfish, because if you're in a good place and you're happy and you're fulfilled, you're naturally going to be more giving and freer to share with others. So I think that's the underpinning secret, is that self-worth, self-love, and you can't go wrong from there.
Beautiful.
I think, yeah, I also agree with Donna. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is be kind to yourself and be gentle with yourself and actually make time to appreciate just being in the moment in difficult times. You know, people have gotten through it and you have gotten through certain of these difficult times. So just draw on your strength. But at the same time, be gentle.
Truly an inspiration, the both of you are. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Catherine. It was wonderful to join you from Australia.
Thank you, Catherine. It was great joining you from Los Angeles. I didn't know Donna was in Australia. Different sides of the world, literally.
It is. So let's tell folks where they can find you. Suzanne?
You can find me on Facebook. Just look up for Suzanne Daniels, or on LinkedIn. I've given my Linktree, so all my connections are there. And I would welcome anyone, you know, opening up a conversation and continuing the journey.
Yeah, and you can find me on my website, soulconversations.com.au, or I am on Facebook under Soul Conversations and Instagram, soulconversations.au. And for anyone who is needing a little bit of guidance and advice, I do offer free soul discovery sessions where I can just have a chat to you and, you know, just offer my insight into your situation to help you move forward.
Absolutely wonderful. The both of you are great, and I cannot wait to see what you're going to do next. Thank you so much to everyone who was able to come out today to be part of this wonderful show. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. The Self Empowerment Project is made for people just like you. Every single day, we are growing and knowing that we will get stronger. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about the Self Empowerment Project, you can find us on Facebook.com/ Self Empowerment Project Love for the Facebook group. Or you can look me up, Catherine, your host, on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Your Cottage Witch. As always, thank you so much for being with us. You are wonderful, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.